This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
In addition to the Blues and Devils tonight, Enterprise Center going for a 7th straight win. Mizzou at home to Arkansas. And it's a reminder, there really is no great rivalry for Mizzou in the SEC. We thought with Mike Anderson, didn't you think? I know they've tried to force Arkansas as the rival in football. I kind of like the deal where they play the day after Thanksgiving. I don't mind that, but I have no real emotional energy towards Arkansas. Brett Bielema, if he'd stayed, would have been kind of a fun target. But Mike Anderson, who left Mizzou in sort of a hurry, they called him Suitcase Mike. I mean, he did a good job, but he ends up at Arkansas. There was a little bitterness right away. That first game back was great. They were all over. But like tonight, has anybody mentioned, hey, it's Mike Anderson back in Columbia. We got to beat these guys. Nobody cares. There's no great SEC rival. Now, you'd love to be really good and be on par with Kentucky, but you're not. Football, the South Carolina is decent because of Columbia and Columbia. But Mizzou and Arkansas, that's an 8 o'clock start earlier. At Enterprise Center, the Red Hot Blues, and Chris Kerber remembers probably 2 months ago on my hockey blog, I said this team will turn it around. They'll be the best team in February, and Jordan Binnington will be the number one NHL star. They'll sweep the Preds, and for some reason that got deleted, my blog. But Kerbs, who did see this coming?
Well, if you don't mind, do you mind sending me a link back to your blog? I didn't know you had one.
Yeah, I got to find that. It's called thehockeynovice.com.
Did anybody, I think there's a lot of people that, did they see a six-game win streak culminating in the last three wins over those teams coming? No, not that specific, but I can tell you in all the conversations we had with Craig Berube, especially going back to the three-game Western Canadian trip right before the Christmas break. It was like Lou from Major League's like, I think we're starting to come together as a team here, you know, like, There were signs that now you just needed to catch, and a couple things needed to click. And one of the things he said to us maybe 6-8 weeks ago was, if we get 91 clicking, this team's going to go on a run. And look what's happened here. So I'll answer that one and say I think this coaching staff has had belief right from the start, and they just knew that it just took a while for this team to get it figured out. Now that they do, I'll tell you something. In talking to John Cooper, the head coach of Tampa, just talking to a couple of the broadcasters with the New Jersey Devils, there's eyes wide open going, uh-oh, what? Like, this Blues team can be a real factor if they keep this going. So did everybody see it coming? Nope. But all it took was a spark. And the one thing that went in their favor, Martin, and we've talked about this with you and Frank, is the fact that the games in hand was legit. The standings weren't quite true until these games evened up. And you know, you played some of those games in hand, and you find yourself 2 points out of third place in the Central Division. So it's worked out. Now you got to avoid a bit of a trap game here, in my opinion, tonight. See if you can make it 7 games in a row.
It is a good reminder for all of us that it's not always coach speak. A lot of times with coaches, they say something that's positive. When the results are not positive, we sort of roll our eyes and treat them like they're Baghdad Bob. Like, yeah, your team's improving, whatever. Travis Ford's team was winning. And he kept saying to us, guys, we're going to have some problems here if we don't. We're like, yeah, you're 14-4. He said, yeah, but the way we're going about it, we're all like, oh, come on, you're fine. And then all of a sudden it happens. They start losing games. And he said, I tried to tell you guys, we got to be careful here. And so it sounds like
you're absolutely right. Because what happens is, and I've heard enough coaches say it, and then I've seen it enough after they've said it, that I trust them when it comes to this. You can do certain things that you see winning games, and you're going, okay, you know, like, for example, puck luck. There was a couple games, and you're going, oh, the Blues should win these games. And, you know, you hit two posts, and they stay out. The other team hits a post, and it goes in. Well, we're in Tampa. They hit three posts. It stays out. You know, you hit a post. It goes in. However it works, sometimes there's that puck luck. And they're looking at certain aspects of the game, and what they can see is just habits creeping in, both negative ones and positive ones. Well, Craig was seeing some of the positive ones. It was building the foundation to lead that leads you to success, and that's what they've done. And look, I'm crediting Ryan O'Reilly. He never wavered. his work ethic has been the same from day one. And then it finally permeated through everything going on here, and I think he's been a real leader on the ice in terms of that work ethic that's helped fuel this. And then, look, you're not talking about a good football team without a quarterback, and you're not talking about a good hockey team without a goaltender. And so we can break it down 18 different ways. The reality of it is Jordan Binnington came in, made big saves when they needed him, and that allowed the team confidence to go through. So you can win a game 5-4 like they did in Nashville because you've got that confidence back, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, Binnington, 10-1-1. We said it earlier, the NHL's number one star. That's out of all the players in the league. I assume Binnington starts tonight, and I assume going forward he's just kind of the guy. Jake will get some starts here and there, but until Binnington really falters, they just kind of ride him. You don't have to have a press conference or announce it, but he's the guy from now on.
Absolutely. Binnington's been great. He's 9-1-1, so hopefully he gets that 10th one tonight. And, you know, and he's the guy. So, yeah, he'll get in there tonight. But, look, you're still going to need both goaltenders here coming up. I mean, you've got three games and four nights coming your way over each of these next couple of weeks. It's going to be some tough hockey. You're playing in Arizona, and then you go back-to-back Colorado and Minnesota. Next week, you're home on a Saturday, you know, against Boston, or the following week, and then you're back on the road in Minnesota. I'm telling you, it's crazy how the schedule is just pounding them in the month of February right now. So both he and Jake are going to be critical to keeping this going. And by the way, look, we're all excited. Everyone's excited. Blues fans are excited, and they should be, because they have completely crawled back to where they control their own destiny. But you slip on a banana peel for two games, and you find yourself 3 points out just as easily. So it's still that tight.
And I said over the weekend, the sweep of the Predators, not only good for the standings, but also the psyche, because that team has been good for a while. There's definitely an emerging rivalry there, a little bit of contempt. And then we get the postgame comments. Ryan Johansson said the unfair puck drop, which is my new favorite phrase in hockey. Of course, that's why the Blues won in overtime, the old unfair puck drop. You've been around this game a long time. Have you heard that one as an excuse before?
Not quite like that one, but I have heard players complain about it. Look, here's my philosophy on faceoffs. I think the NHL wastes way too much time getting guys square, because every time they kick a guy out, by the time they drop it for the second attempt at it, nobody's square anyway. So I just as soon drop it and go. If the ref dropped that puck quick, it's just because Johansson, you know, was taking his time. So I love it. I like the trash talk. I like the fact that Blues fans can't stand the pre-rehearsed chants from Predators fans. I like the fact that both teams are good. To your point, you know, prior before I started, you're talking about rivalries in the SEC. One, you haven't been in the SEC long enough to have one, and two, you got to be good to get one. So you're going to have to knock off some teams. And for the Blues to knock off Nashville 3 out of 4 games, oh, that's just made the intensity terrific here in those games. And we've got another one coming up against them in 2 weeks.
Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues. It's the Blues and Devils for sure. A winnable game, and as you said, a trap. You got to watch out. Otherwise, it's going to be 7 in a row. Vladimir Tarasenko, we talked to him right before, you know, the break had ended. They were getting ready to go out on the road that first game in Columbus, and he said to the group there, and I'm not there very often, but it was Jim Thomas and others, and he kind of talked about confidence, and he was talking about himself as much as the team, and he seemed to indicate, like, he just felt different, or he was ready to, and he did a little bit before the break, but did you see this coming from him?
You knew he had it in him. What you needed to see from him was stop waiting around for the offense to find him in the offensive zone. I know it almost seems so counterintuitive when coaches talk about it, but they always talk about how playing well on the defensive side of the puck or how good defense leads to offense. Well, that's what's happened. And look, I don't know whether it was 4 or 5 games ago, and I'm not. This is before the Tampa game, and Vladimir Tarasenko made a back check, and you were in Columbus, and he was the one on the goal line diving into the net to keep the puck out. The awareness, him going back deep, that type of effort, and at that time we're saying, look, this is what you know you can see from the guy. You've got to see it more often. When he gets skating, he's got sequoia trees for legs. He's got tree trunks down there. He's a powerful skater. And yet you're wondering, how come you're not seeing it on this back check? Well, you're seeing it now. And all of a sudden, that's creating turnovers. The Blues won the game in Tampa because it was a back check from Vladimir Tarasenko. He stick checked the puck loose. And that's what led the transition to up the shin. Rather than, if he's not doing that, they're coming down, and it's a skills competition trying to pick your corner for the game-winning goal. And he's been doing that now for the games. Is it going to be there every game? Maybe not quite to the same level, because I'm telling you, the level of play you're asking from these guys in this short kind of window and amount of games, it's almost impossible. But a lot more than what we saw at the beginning of the year. So whether it's confidence, hard work, whatever, I think the confidence comes from the hard work and the results are coming from it. So he's once again shown you the bar of what it looks like when he's on top of his game. And I think now you can start to expect it more, and you should, as fans, they should demand it more, and I think it's good.
Last one for Chris Kerber. I used to think the indicator whether the Blues are winning games or not was Jaden Schwartz being healthy, being productive, and I think there were some numbers for a while that backed it up. When he played and was in playing well, that the Blues tended to win more. Do you think he can get it going? Do you think that's a confidence thing? Because I'm hoping that if the team wins and he's not doing great, that maybe he can kind of stick to it instead of getting in the tank. Like, if you're not playing well and the team's losing, it's got to be doubly hard to dig out.
It's no doubt a confidence thing. Now, can he? Yes. Will he? I don't know. But the numbers are staggering. I think we're up to 86 periods of hockey. I don't have my notes right in front of me on this one, Martin. It's 86 or 87 periods of hockey without a goal on a goaltender. Last time, he has one empty netter. The last time he scored when a goal he was in net was on the 9th of November at home against San Jose in the second period. But the difference is, you still look at the record when he's in the lineup and out, and it still is difference. He is still definitely, even if he's not scoring, a key factor in the engine of this hockey team. Because if you go back over the 22 games it's been now since he scored that empty net goal, he's still got something like 78, 76 shots on net. So that tells you he's still creating some opportunities and getting some opportunities in there. So I'd be far more concerned if at that point you're talking he's got 30 shots on goal in those 20 games. But he's got 76. So he's getting it in there. At some point, I can't wait to see what the celebration would be. If he scores a goal on a goalie tonight, I think they should just take him out on a stretcher, let him catch his breath, and then come back in the next game.
Stop the game, bring out the key to the city and all of that, have a parade.
Just get the resuscitator back there for him, let him catch his breath, and then go at it.
Boy, it's a hell of a lot more fun, I'm sure, for everybody, you and the broadcast team included. Have a good one tonight. Thanks for checking in.
All right, you got it, Martin. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk to you a little later.
All right, that's the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, and that Blues Report brought to us by Petromart. Petromart, locally owned and operated family business. It's been serving the St. Louis area for over 50 years. Each location just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next. 50 locations to serve you in a hurry. Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza, fresh food or fruit, both, and salads. Petromart has something for everybody. It's always prepared fresh, available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues.
That's a staggering number on Jaden Schwartz.
When he said...
Well, he didn't have the note in front of him, but either it's 86 or 87. Both numbers are staggering. So periods without a goal and a goalie.
Quick CBC math. So I think it was on a goalie. So maybe there's an empty netter in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So 86 periods would be the equivalent of almost 30 games.
That's absurd.
I think it's 29 officially. And then he mentioned the 76 shots. He was saying that as a positive. I was like, oh, my God, that's
only
a lot of
76?
A lot of shots without scoring.
Yes.
76 shots. He said that's good. That at least he's still active. He's around the net. But I thought, that's 76 at-bats without a base hit. You know, that's 76 free throws that are missed.
We're in July. Not Paul DeJong is all for his here, last 76. Oh, my God.
And I guess, did I give Bitter an extra one? I had him at 10-1-1. I guess, is he only 9-1-1?
So maybe if they lose tonight, it's your fault.
Maybe I'm. That's it's the reverse.
That's what I'm reading here.
Of the Cusumano guarantee. It may, in fact, be the jinx. Yeah, Blues play tonight at 7 at Home Enterprise Center. We mentioned Mizzou, Arkansas, 8 o'clock. Tigers are in the tank. Maybe they'll rally a bit.
It is 9-1-1.
It is 9. Well, after tonight, of course.
Wow. They're going to lose now because of you. 1-1.
Jack Flaherty was a guest, I believe, on the morning after. And I didn't hear, so I don't know if it was a topic. But it was one of my favorite quotes from yesterday, Derek Gould, in saying that Flaherty was switching his number. And I'm weird about numbers. I don't really care, but it still bothers me that Goldschmidt is 46. Yes. Because I like 44 for him. My slugging first baseman just looks better. But also the fact that Luke Gregerson has that number makes it worse. And I think if he weren't here, Goldschmidt would have said, yeah, I'll take 44. But he's ultra polite, and he didn't want to take it from Gregerson. And I think Mo should have said, well, it's fine. We forgot he was here too. You can have it.
Just call up Luke. Luke, you're 51 now.
You're still here.
Not
no,
51.
Not 51.
You're 59 now. You're 59. That's
here,
your number.
You're 72. What? Oh, that's Evergreen? Okay, never mind.
So, Mo, I don't want to be that number. Well, that's your new number now.
But for a starting pitcher, I kind of like Flaherty in 32, even though that doesn't make
any
sense.
Oh, are you doing this thing?
No.
But this is a thing for you, being bothered by numbers.
I do. I'm fully admitting this. That does not keep me up late at night. I liked Flaherty in 32, and then he switches to 22. And my favorite part was Derek Gould actually had a quote from Flaherty where he said, I tend to like players that have worn 22. And then Gould said, but he couldn't name any players that worn
22. His way of trying to officially wipe out the Mike Matheny era.
Yes. I think this will engender him to a certain portion of the fan base. If you're the Cardinals, does it feel a little too soon to give away the Matheny number?
No.
No, okay. But I love the fact that he said, I kind of like guys that wear the 22 over the years. And Derek said, oh, great. You know, who were a couple of those? He said,
Jason Hayward.
I don't really.
Jason Hayward?
Will Clark, Jack Clark, Eckstein wore it.
Follow me on this, though, real quick.
And I'm wondering if it's basketball for him. I was trying to think of who a Laker was that might have wore 20. Anyway, he's the one who said, I'd like players that wear it, then he couldn't name one.
So Jack Flaherty was 32. He wants to move to 22 because he wants to remove Mike Matheny's influence forever from the Cardinals organization. Jairo Munoz now is number 32. He switched his number. He used to be 34. Cardinals opening up 34.
Harper.
Worn by Bryce Harper. It's happening.
Wow.
It's all coming together, Martin.
It's a domino effect.
Yes.
For Harper to walk in that door and have 34.
It's all coming together.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if Gregerson gives up his 44 to Goldschmidt and then takes the 34?
And you're like, no. That's true. Maybe he's the key. He sits on that special number. Hey, Luke? Yeah, about that number? We're going to need to change that out again.
It's all coming together.
We'll
check
in. Charlie Marlowe is going to give us our Jupiter report coming up at 12 o'clock. I love the phrase, unfair puck drop.
I want to start a blog or a podcast.
Unfair
call it that.
Puck,
yes.
Or a band that plays maybe yes. outside the Enterprise Center
unfair
before the
puck
playoffs.
Drop.
Mike Greenberg, unfair puck drop.
It sounds like a high school chant. Unfair puck drop. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Like you would be mad at the refs and you'd try and send a message.
Is that a thing? Like a real hockey thing?
Well, and you heard Curb say never really quite like this in terms of blaming an overtime loss. He's heard guys complain about the puck drop.
Like an NBA player, they'll crying about the opening tip. Like, that was an unfair opening tip.
And did Johansson complain on the ice, or was he just annoying in general? Because there was that video where Oscar Sundquist of the Blues sort of gave him a special shout-out after the game.
It was certainly special.
It was very specific.
Intimate, almost.
A moment. And it has since been deleted. I don't think the Blues realized the audio on there. They showed players coming off and doing the fist pound. And Sunquist, Sonny, they call him, had a little message for a certain Predator that I don't think they wanted out there for the kids.
He got that Savoca-type fire.
I didn't see that coming either.
I love it.
Sonny side up, whatever. When he sat down with Strick last week, and Strick said, hey, you got 10 goals, da-da-da, kind of taking the theme that we all have. Dude, you're better than we thought.
Yes.
He said, are you surprised? He said, no, I'm not at all. So maybe there's a little edge there that you didn't anticipate. Unfair puck drop will, it may not have the shelf life of low-hanging fruit or arbitrage, but for Blues fans, I think unfair puck drop needs to stick around. And Nashville is a good rival because we kind of hate their fans. We hate their celebration.
Proximity. You know, you can go to an away game, support your team that way as well.
100%.
That's great.
It's a lot of fun. And I guess there's a decent chance if you finished in that third spot in the division, you could be facing them. It could be that 2-3. Careful what you wish for, but that would be a hell of a lot of fun, right?
I'd love to
first round.
I would prefer to go to Nashville for a playoff game. Don't get me wrong.
Than to Jupiter. You'd rather go to...
No. Well, that too, actually. But the atmosphere in Nashville is second to none when it comes to hockey because the downtown atmosphere is right there. That is a great weekend trip.
You got those country buggers, Strick calls them. Unrelated, a story, the rip from today's headlines just for Plowsy. Do you think stoners... Or I shouldn't say stoners because that's discriminatory. Do you think... People that are avid pot smokers.
Recreational smokers.
Okay, recreational marijuana users. Do you think they get unfairly labeled as being
probably
stoners?
Not as much now as what it, you know, they were ridiculed.
Like if you used to be, hey, I smoke pot, like, oh, you're a stoner.
Yeah, you hippie, things like that. So I don't think the stoner has a bad connotation to it. I don't mind the term at all.
So if somebody said you're a stoner, it doesn't offend you. But a lot of people, I think, that recreationally do marijuana would say, don't call me a stoner, dude.
Well, stoner, it depends on...
You drink beer. Are you an alcoholic?
Yeah, it depends on the tone and their facial expression, you know. People will say stoner.
Hold on. What's the facial expression of a stoner?
No, I'm talking the facial expression when somebody calls somebody else a stoner.
Okay.
Maybe they convey it as you're uneducated and you don't really know this certain topic because you're a stoner. That kind of annoys me, but nothing offends me like that.
Okay, well, I bring this up because a said stoner in Houston went into a vacant home to smoke some pot. I guess the home had been abandoned. And he said he went in there and then he went into the garage and he called police because he found a tiger. And so he called the police and said, I'm in here smoking some pot and I see a tiger. And their immediate reaction wasn't, what's the address, sir? We'll be right over. They said,
how much pot
are you sure it's a tiger? Because apparently,
or is it a really fat cat? What are you talking about?
Apparently, on the 911 call, he said, "I'm in here smoking some pot, and there's this giant tiger," and they immediately questioned the validity of the report. Like, dude, seriously? Like, dude? And he's like, "No, it's a tiger." And they went over there. It was in a cage. So this Houston, there's a special section of the police that deals with animals, and they said, just so everyone knows, these are not good house pets. I'm like, well, thank you.
It's good information.
For those of us who are not stoned, thank you for clarifying. Not good house pets, but the guy basically said they didn't take me serious once I admitted I was in here smoking
pot.
A
great addition to this story, because I did read this. Anytime I have keywords, you know, on Twitter and stoner, you know, those usually wrap up to the top of the
list. And how about
the
fact I saw it, I'm like, oh, I got to read this for Plowsy.
And the fact that I've already read this and have a nugget that you may not know, he actually called 311. Which was the non-emergency phone number.
Right on, dude.
So, like, what is an emergency to a stoner? Yeah. It's not next to a tiger.
There's a tiger in here. Ginormous. Like, you know, one of those dudes that live at the zoo.
But if the guy probably lost a Gusher's fruit snack, maybe 911 comes into play.
Hey, man, I can't find my Funyuns. 911. All right, quick break. We're going to talk to Mark Lamping, former Cardinals president. What a career. Also went to New York and helped build that Giants-Jets stadium. Now he works for the Jacksonville Jaguars, goes to London, working for Shad Khan, and then he's in town tomorrow. St. Louis guy back in town. Special event for Rockhurst University. We'll talk to Mark Lamping. That's next here. Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan. On the road.